So it's John chapter 6, starting at the first verse. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he'd performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the people sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and fitted 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who's come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Carol. I'm only turning this away because the shadow gets in the way. That's all. I'm sorry, I'm going to read you a story. Now, are you all in a mood to do actions? Because there's no children here to help me. I'm sorry about this. Sam, you'll have to help me. Yeah. I always want a good volunteer. Right. So, there are some words that come up, and if you feel something come into your mind that gives you an action or something, do it. All right. Just let yourself go. Is anybody good at grumbling and moaning? Well, I hope to hear some grumbling and moaning. Okay, let's go on with it. It's called I Am the Bread. There was no bread on the mountain. On the mountain, there was no bread. Only groaning bellies and grumbling tummies and one little lad who was willing to share his McDonald's fillet of fish Happy Meal. So Jesus took the bread rolls and Jesus took the fish. "Here is the bread," he said. He said, "Here is the bread." And he spoke a prayer and broke it, and every belly was full. Hey, oh, invention, good, even better. Right, so next verse. "There was no bread at the seaside." At the seaside, there was no bread. Oh. "Only moaning crowds and mumbling Pharisees who wanted to see, and all singing, all dancing, miracle show. Our fathers ate bread in the desert," they cried. "What sign will shine from you?" So Jesus looked at the crowd. Then Jesus shook the crowd. "I am the bread," he said. "I am the bread. And if you swallow me and follow me, then you will live forever." There was no bread on the road to Emmaus. On the road, there was no bread. Just a long, sad walk and a stranger who talked as if nothing of the death of their friend. The stranger broke the bread and he spoke a prayer as well. Thanks for the bread, the stranger said. The stranger said, thanks for the bread. Yeah. Their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. And like a ghost or a phantom or an English summer sun, he disappeared at once from their sight. Yeah. So here we are, traipsing up life's mountain. Here we are, simply sailing life's sea. Here we are in the middle of life's journey, a long, long way from home, walking and talking, groaning and moaning, grumbling and mumbling, and fumbling together for what? A bit of sunshine, a McDonald's Happy Meal, an all-singing, all-dancing miracle show. Yeah, we're one of those. And a life that's worth living, maybe worth living forever. I am the bread, said Jesus. I am the bread. Walk with me, talk with me, swallow me, follow me. Come and taste and live. Woo! Have you all taken that to heart? Yep. Now I'll start the real talk. Okay. So, as we have heard in both our Bible reading and our story, Jesus took a child's packed lunch and fed 5,000 people. Job done, simple, and we move on. Okay, is that not enough? Oh, okay. Hold on, you say, that can't be it. Jesus has just done the most amazing thing. Better than winning the World Cup, he has fed thousands of people with virtually nothing. And Rob, you dismiss it and move on to the World Cup highlights. Think about this. What does it cost to win a World Cup tournament? So first, time, training, lots of money, talented players, an excellent coach, organisation and a willingness to do what you're told. Very much not like a church congregation. So, okay. In our sermon series, we're talking about saying yes to Jesus. What is the cost of saying yes? And that's why I was referring to the collect, because it says about cost. Jesus, in this miracle, seems to throw all these things out the window, but has he? Because he's trained the disciples to listen and learn at his feet. They have had their eyes open and understand that there is more to Jesus than meets the eye. Who is he? What will he do next? What will he ask and expect from them and the crowd? This morning, we will explore them with them the cost of following Jesus. So you see, as Christians, what are we expected to be like? Now I'm going back to childhood, okay? Humble, meek and mild was one phrase that I always used to hear in assembly at primary school. To be seen and to not be heard as children was said to be good behaviour, yes? Yep. Okay, the crowd around us think that we should be perfect. Oh, yeah. Without blemish, church people should be good. Yeah? I agree that our aim should be to be for perfection. But being honest, I always fall short. Very short of that aim. Jesus, when he picked the disciples, said, follow me. Not sort yourselves out first, get yourself in order, correct your sins and gather all your belongings together, then follow me. No, he just said, follow me. In the Bible story and the one by Bob Hartman, we focus on the fact that the young lad gave Jesus his packed lunch and Jesus used that small amount of bread and fish to feed a mass of people and then had 12 baskets left over. When we come to this story and others concerned in bread in the New Testament, Jesus wants to lead us to his sacrifice to save mankind. All the stories point to his journey to Jerusalem. And as we heard in the reading, this was just before Passover when he was going to go to Jerusalem. So we're talking about death on the cross, burial and resurrection. The cost of life is death, but death that leads to eternal life. What stops us following Jesus and his commands? The cost. We only see the short-term costs. In verse 5 and 6 it said, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat? He asked this only to test him before he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip replies, it would take more than a half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one just to have a bite. We naturally have similar thoughts. When we are asked to confront large problems, whether it be to volunteer to help at church or give products to helping hands or disasters that happen throughout the world, we think first, can we afford it? What's the cost in time, in effort, and cold cash? Because we're practical people. Yes, we care, but we put ourselves, family, and friends first. Jesus in the reading puts Philip on the spot. What are you going to do in this situation? Philip, being a practical man, states the cost. It's half a year's wages. Andrew says, though, and I'll put this in brackets, I think more in hope than expectation. In verse 9, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? Andrew is thinking he has done great things before. Maybe he can do it again. How often do we, though, reply in the same way? It's more like, in a bit. I've just got to... Okay, I'll do it later. No, it costs too much. I haven't the skill or a combination of all or any of them. So how often do we reply in that way? The boy, though, offers what he has. His packed lunch or his fillet of fish meal from McDonald's. Jesus will always use what is offered to the best effect. Any small offering of time, effort, or ourselves will be used to great effect with his assistance through the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't want us to count the cost. He has it all accounted for. In his hands, he holds the impossible, which becomes possible. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is within us. So he's not saying that God's got all the power and will do it, but he says that he will use us through the power that he gives us. Jesus has it all sorted out. As Christians throughout the world have seen, small things given to Jesus do great things. Think of Wycliffe and their Bible translations. Ripple effect, given providing the means to a living for thousands of people. In fact, Ellie says, we've given £190-odd, haven't we? So ripple effect again. Only from small little bits. But you can see, small little things have large effects. Helping Hands is providing food to hundreds of people in our area. Little amounts that amount to enough to feed thousands. Jesus leads us to give and to not count the cost. He provides the power and the impetus through the Holy Spirit. Not when we take communion, we feed on him through the bread and wine. We are provided with all that we need. Jesus paid the cost on the cross and rose to new life, and it is provided for each of us through the Holy Spirit as we confess to him where we fall short. That confession provides new life to us, eternal life. So Are we troubled by the thought, what can I give to Jesus? Because two older Christian ladies on the Isle of Lewis had exactly the same thought. They were concerned about the state their town was in and the many people who rejected Jesus. They decided the only thing they could do was pray. They prayed together twice a week for a few hours, and subsequently a massive revival came to that island. What, though, does God want us to do? Because every situation is different. What could be the cost, or even better, the benefit? We could pray regularly each day. We could solve a small piece of the loneliness problem by visiting an older person or a member of our family or a friend. So, overall, I've only talked about one subject, cost, okay? So, if you can't remember this after the service, when I ask you what the sermon was about, I'm going to be most upset. So, I think we should be encouraged by the little boy in the story. He gave only what he had, and he enabled Jesus to feed thousands. What little thing that we have could we offer to Jesus? I've listed a couple of things. We could give our time or energy, our money or resources. They're different things. Money is different to resources, isn't it? Our kind words or prayers, again, similar but different things. And our trust that in Jesus' hands, what we offer will be used in wonderful ways for the blessing of others. Jesus said, "He is the bread," and this is the end of the Bob Hartman reading. "Walk with me, talk with me, swallow me, come and taste and live." You've noticed today is not a communion service, but as we come before Jesus in church, the bread and wine is always available through his Holy Spirit. The person of Christ is always available if we ask, wherever we are, in church or not. Ask me. If you want to learn more, talk to each other, ask questions, and find your way to the Lord, for he has given everything for us. Let us pray. Lord, we know you are here through your Holy Spirit. We ask you to be alongside us, with us, and through us in all the things that we do. Use the small things that we can give to become massive things that can be used for you. Help us, Lord, in our way to feed the thousands and to bring them to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.